This is a word, sort of a follow-up on something the Lord's been speaking to me about that's so important in what we're going through, because folks increasingly are being isolated in terms of they're asked to stay home, to do their job from home, or schools are being let out. So a lot of us find ourselves, and Olivia and I do, just because of what she's going through, but also so it wouldn't have mattered if whether there was a coronavirus or not. I'd still be, at least this week, being a caregiver, the main caregiver. But all of us have experienced our lifestyle experiencing a real change. Those with small children, your children at home, they're not in school, and even kids are in college or home. So there's a lot of things. Husbands and wives are together more now because maybe you're not going to work or not being at work as much as you used to. So our lifestyle has changed a lot, and we're thrown into everyday life situations that we only sometimes just brush up against. Like if both of you work, you see each other, you know, for so many hours, but now you're together all the time. And I really do believe that, I mentioned day before yesterday, I think, that prophetically I believe that God is doing a work in his church by forcing his body, his bride, to come to grips with that supernatural living has to start in the practical details of living. It's not about traveling around the world and being a quote world changer. It's about being a world changer, but the world starts with who are the people we are around all the time. And I really believe that's something that God's doing, is teaching us that abiding in Christ, manifesting the life of Christ in fullness, starts where nobody else is seeing what's going on except us and those that we live closely to. This is a word to follow up on that. This is from the Upper Room Discourse. Let's see where I'm trying to find this. In John 17. So let's read these few verses. It said, "These things Jesus spoke, lifting up his eyes to heaven. He said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even if you gave him authority over all mankind, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on the earth.'" So this is the part that's really cool. "I've glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you gave me to do." Now notice Jesus said that he glorified the Father on the earth, having accomplished, past tense, the work that the Father had given him to do. Now, Jesus has not gone to the cross yet. And so the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus hasn't happened. And so that finished work that we talked about hasn't yet been accomplished. Yet Jesus says here, "Lord, I've glorified you on the earth," past tense, "having accomplished," past tense, "the work that you've given me to do." And then he says, "And now glorify you me together with yourself, Father, with the glory with which I had with thee before the world was." And then he goes on in verse 6 and says, "I manifested your name," and name speaks of presence and character, "I manifested your name to the men that you gave me out of the world." When Jesus said, "Lord, I glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished what you gave me to do," the finished work of Christ at the cross, this great accomplishment of Jesus of taking the old order to the cross, crucifying it, raising up a whole new order, a whole new humanity. But yet also his incarnational life was a work that he came to manifest. He glorified the Father by manifesting the incarnational presence of the Father through him by the Holy Spirit. But he says, particularly, "The work that you gave me to do started with, I manifested your name to the men that you gave me out of the world." Jesus was concerned not with first dying for the world, or Jesus was not just concerned about dying for the world, but he's also concerned about living before the one. And Jesus lived before thousands and thousands of people, but it started with those men, those 12 men, and then the other followers who were close, intimate followers, like Mary Magdalene. Those are the people that Jesus said he manifested the Father's name. The point being is that sometimes Christians are so concerned about winning the world that we don't win our own kids. that we don't win our own husband or our own wife or the people that we work with. What I mean by that winning, I don't mean by that we lead them to Jesus, though that certainly could be a part of it, but that we simply manifest his name. We manifest the name of Christ. We manifest his presence. We manifest his likeness to just those people that God's given us. And it starts with our Jerusalem, our family. You know, we have Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. It kind of starts from the inside out. And so to be a world changer doesn't first start with having a passion to impact the nations or to impact some great geographical area. But first and foremost, it's about manifesting the likeness of Christ to those people that God's put in our lives, whom we live with or live around day by day. I think it's so important that we get that. And I'm emphasizing that again because that's what the Holy Spirit keeps speaking to me that's so relevant. Many of us, charismatics, love to watch like God TV. We love to watch Sid Roth and it's supernatural. We love to watch on God TV the conferences around the world and the signs and wonders. Yet we're grumping and grouching around our husbands, our wives, our kids. We're impatient and we're all these different things around the people that we work with or live with all the time. And I believe that's a real deception from the enemy. It's supernatural starts at home. And so let God, the Holy Spirit, speak to you this week that first and foremost, God's teaching you to win the world that's in front of you. Manifest his name, his likeness to those in front of you. So let's start there. And then we go from there. But if we aren't doing that, then we're missing it. Jesus died for the world, but he lived for the one. Think about Mary Magdalene, how he loved on her so extravagantly. Her life was changed. Think about the woman at the well, how he went out of his way to minister to her. He died for the world, but he lived for the one, or he lived for the few, lived before the few, the men God gave him, and so do we. So anyway, that's just the word I wanted to reemphasize. That let the Lord speak to you that walking in the Spirit doesn't start with conferences and praying for the sick and all that kind of stuff. Walking in the Spirit starts with your being and manifesting the very life and likeness of Christ to those who are around you who are making all the demands on your attention and time and emotions. Okay?